Hey, look.
You mean do my Caleb Sutton look?
What up, boy?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Hey, welcome, man. We're glad to be here. Glad you came to worship with us today. We're excited. We're starting a new series today. It's post-Easter, man. We had a, how about last weekend? Didn't we have a great weekend, Easter, and everybody coming to hang out? And so today we're going to start a new series, and we're looking at, okay, now what? After Easter. After the resurrection, after we accept Christ, after we receive salvation, after we engage in our faith, now what do we do? And so we're going to look at that over the next 4 weeks. And so I'll tell you, as we start out today, one of our overall themes here at Bethel over the last several years has been this. It's been connect, cultivate, and carry on. Connect, cultivate, and carry on. We believe that is an equation that leads to a successful life of honoring Christ. It leads to a successful life of shining your light in the middle of a dark world. And connect, the first thing that we got to do, that's what we're all about here at Bethel, is connecting people with a life-giving God. How many of you know that when we connect with God, everything changes in our life? Come on, somebody. Can I get a witness? Anybody say, I look back over my life, and when I connected with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, when I connected with God the Father through the offering and the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary Hill, my life completely changed when I connected with God. He's allowed to connect with God's people because there are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And if you're going to be all that you can be and I'm going to be all that I can be, we have to connect with this life-giving God, and then we have to connect with people on this earth. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens another. We are better together than we are by ourselves. Connect with God, connect with others, and the next step is cultivate. It's cultivate. Everybody say cultivate. Jesus is God's seed planted in this earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word took upon flesh and came and dwelt among us. Jesus came down, and we celebrated last week. They buried him in the earth, and on the third day, he rose again. Now, Jesus lives inside of us. Jesus has been planted in our lives. How many of you belong to Jesus today? Shout yes. Jesus lives inside of you. Now what do we do? Now what do? That the seed has been planted in us. We cultivate that seed. We cultivate that seed. Now, let me see. How many of you planted a garden this year or planning on planting a garden? Bunch of city-fied folk. I bet you wear skinny jeans when you ain't at church too, don't you? Garden, man, I love a garden. Who doesn't love fresh vegetables? Who doesn't love red ripe, vine ripened tomatoes grown in your own home, and they're big and they're juicy, and you slice them up and a bacon and tomato sandwich with a big old smear of mayonnaise? Can I get a witness, y'all? And some fresh okra cut up and fried in cornmeal. Hey! But here's the deal. We can plant tomato seeds in our garden. You can till up the ground. You can plant tomato seeds. You can plant okra seeds. You can plant zucchini seeds. And here's the deal. If they are not properly cultivated, they will not grow to produce the fruit that they're intended to produce. You can. They might spring up for a moment, but if they're not watered, the heat will come and they will wither away. You can plant them and they might spring up, but if you're not taking proper care of them, the weeds and the grass burrs will grow up and suck the life out of them. You have to cultivate the seeds that are planted. And this is much like our faith. We receive faith from Jesus. And I'm glad that you're saved, and I'm glad that you're forgiven, and I'm glad that Jesus lives inside of you. But if you want to be all that you can be, if you want to be the best witness, if you want to be the best spouse, if you want to be the best parent, if you want to be the best representative of Jesus Christ in this dark and hurting world, then you are going to have to take the responsibility of your faith, and you're going to have to cultivate the seed that has been planted in you. Cultivate. That's what we're going to be discussing the next 4 weeks. Cultivating and growing in our faith. Today, we're going to look at the writings of Peter. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to go old school. I'm going to preach old school for you today. I'm just going to read this 10 verses of scripture, and then that's all the scripture you're going to get, and I'm just going to elaborate and go off that today, and I pray that it speaks to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. This letter is from Simon Peter. He says, I'm a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and our Savior. May God give you more and more. Everybody say more. More. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, God has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of this, because of everything God has done for us, because of everything that He's given us, because of all the promises that He's, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises, supplement or add to your faith. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge. Add to your knowledge, self-control. Add to your self-control, patient endurance. Add to your patient and brotherly affection with the love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop, those who fail to add to their faith, those who fail to grow are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those that God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to challenge us, convict us, encourage us. Holy Spirit, have your thing we're going to talk about today. Peter said this. He said, you know what? I'm writing this letter to all of you who have the same faith. The same faith. Can I tell you? That's what changes us. Faith in Jesus Christ. All of our faith is the same. Your faith, Danny, is the same as my faith. Your faith, John, is the same as my faith. Your faith, Kate, is the same as my faith. You know, my faith is not bigger than yours. My faith is not stronger than yours. My faith is not better than yours. It's just simple faith. We have faith. That's what saves us. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus and the work that He did on the cross of the Calvary is what connects us to God and what changes our life here on this earth and what changes our life in eternity. Just faith, simple faith. That's all we need. Listen, faith is given to you and I from God. The scripture said faith is given to us, and it's not given to us because of anything that we've done. It's not given to us on our own merit. It's not given to us on our own worthiness. Faith is given to us based on the justice and the fairness of God. Because God loves all of His children, and He gives us all the opportunity to receive His Son by faith. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation. Faith is the foundation of living a life that honors Christ. Everybody shout faith. 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 Last week we talked about Christ. We have faith in the resurrection. Faith in Jesus. Boom. Connected with God. Then what? Then now what do we do? Now that we're connected with God, here's what God wants to do. Can I tell you what God wants to do? Can I hear a good amen? God wants to give you more and more and more and more. God wants to give you more grace. God wants to give you more peace. God wants to give you more of Himself. How many of you know we serve a God of abundance and we serve a God of more? Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life more abundantly. Jesus comes into our life by faith, and then He wants to give us more. Here's the key to receiving more. Are you ready for this? Can I hear a good amen? Amen. We receive more according to the gospel of Peter. God gives us more and more as we grow in the knowledge of God. As we grow, God gives us more. As we grow in the knowledge of God, God gives us more. I'm going to be really honest, and I'm going to shoot you straight, and I'm going to tell you something. How many of you know we need to hear the truth sometimes? We need to hear the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. Harry Truman said this one time. He said, people say that I give them hell. He said, I don't. I just tell them the truth and be better. And the truth is, if we're going to receive more from God, then we have a responsibility to grow in our knowledge of Him. And I've been pastoring for 22 years, and I'm going to be tell you the truth. The reason that most of us have not experienced abundance, and the reason that most of us have not experienced more of God, is because we don't know God any better today than we did when we got saved 15 years ago. We don't know Him more. We don't know His Word more. We don't know His character because we don't spend time with Him. If you want to grow and you want God to give you more, then we have to put forth effort and we have to know God more. That is the key. That's the key right there. We got to grow. We got to grow. Everybody say, grow. Listen up, y'all. Look. Let me tell you something. We have to cultivate and take responsibility of the faith that God has given to us. We have to take responsibility. I'm going to grow. This is my life. This is my marriage. These are my kids. This is my ministry. We have to take responsibility because when properly watered, when properly cultivated, we will produce fruit and we will continue to grow. We'll continue to grow. Think about this with me for a moment. How many know there's so much power in one simple seed? In a seed. If we believe that Jesus is the seed of God planted in this earth, planted in us, there is power in a seed. How many know everybody can count the number of seeds that's in an apple? You can cut an apple open, one can count the number of apples that are in one seed. Because you can take one apple seed and you can plant that one seed and it can sprout, and if properly cultivated, it will grow and produce a tree full of apples. And in each one of those apples, there are going to be 12 other seeds. And if someone harvests them and someone is responsible with them, one seed can turn into a million apples. There is power in the seed that God has placed in you. But you have to properly cultivate it and take care of it. Can I give you just a small example? And I'm not bragging on me. How many of y'all know I'm just like y'all? Come on, somebody. I mean, like, I struggle and I got issues, and sometimes I cuss a little and sometimes I get mad. I mean, I'm just like you. And the reason I say that is because I want you to be able to relate to what I'm fixing to say. I'm just a common guy. And 25 years ago, I received the seed of Jesus Christ in my life, and it changed me. It changed me from the inside out. And for those of you that used to know me, can I hear a good amen right now? It changed me. And you know, all I did was begin to cultivate that seed. All I did was begin to read the Word of God. All I did was begin to do everything that I could, fertilize the Word of God. And I'm just going to tell you, and I'm not bragging, I'm just saying to give you an example. Last week, on Easter Sunday morning, Bethel in Anson, Bethel in Sweetwater, Bethel in Stanford, and Bethel in Albany, there were about 1,910 people that gathered to worship and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and celebrate the resurrection and every bit in them. I wonder what God can do in our world if you will take responsibility of the seed He's placed in you, if you will cultivate it, if you will fertilize it, and if you will spread and grow to every. Wonder what God might do. Revival will come. Endless growth and endless opportunity for you and I. Can I just say this? We live in a world where everybody's got the victim mentality. Sorry, can I shoot you straight? It ain't my fault. I'm a victim. You didn't treat me right. You didn't do me right. My parents didn't do me right. The country, I'm misfortune. Oh, you know what? There's this. There's injustice in the world. There's racial this. There's all that. Knock it off! The only thing that keeps us from our dreams is air and opportunity and excuses. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There is endless opportunity for every child of God. And you know what we have to do? Verse 5 says, Verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we have to make every opportunity, give every effort to add to our faith. Give effort to adding to your faith. Give effort to adding to our faith. Give effort. We give effort to so many things. We give effort to hunting. We give effort to sales. We give effort to roping. We give effort to school. We give effort to our motorcycles. We give effort to everything in the world. But as a pastor of 22 years, I observe this. We don't give a whole lot of effort to our faith. We just want to show up, occupy a chair, let it all be about me, consume what that church has to offer to me, and we don't put a whole lot of effort into adding to our faith throughout the week. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? Make every effort to add to our faith. Faith is the foundation of living a life that honors Christ. It's a foundation. How many know if you're going to build a home? Let me give you an example. Okay, I'm going to build a home. I've saved my money. I've done good. I'm going to build this home. I can't wait to build this home. We buy this property. It's the perfect property. It's out in the country, and none of you can get to it, and none of you know where it is. And so I call in a contractor, and he pours me a foundation. Woo, praise the Lord. And then I say to the contractor, that's all I need. Just give me the foundation. And we move our bed on a slab over there. And we move our couch on a slab. We have no water. We have no electricity. We have no walls. We have no heating. We have no air conditioning. We're just living on the foundation the rest of my life. Who wants to do that? Come on, somebody. You're an idiot if you do that. You go, no, no, no. The foundation is poured. And then I'm going to add some walls. And then I'm going to add some indoor plumbing. Come on, somebody. And then I'm going to add some electricity. See, that is the way that we do with our faith. We receive Jesus Christ. It's the foundation. And we live the rest of our life open and exposed to the elements of the world because we're unwilling to put forth every effort to add to our faith. I am preaching the paint off the walls to you today, whether you know it, whether you like it, whether you love it or not. Add to moral excellence. Some character, some integrity. Now that I'm saved, I was a sinner. I was fouled up. I was screwing around. I was sleeping with this one. I was drinking that. I was consuming that. I was watching porno. I was mixed up, fouled up. Sin was killing me, and I accepted Jesus Christ. Now you know what you got to do? Add some moral excellence to that. You got to quit drinking, screwing, running around, and acting like you used to act. You got to stop. You got to stop. You got to add some moral excellence. Now you got to start acting like God. You got to start acting like who you belong to. You repent. You get new habits. See, there's an error in the Christian church nowadays that I can receive Jesus by faith, but I don't have to repent or add in new habits. I can keep living the same old way that I've always been living. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If you want to grow and be all you can be, you have to repent. You have to accept faith and then start adding some moral character. Quit lying. Quit cheating. Quit backbiting. Quit. We have to repent, add to our faith, moral excellence. And then we have to add some knowledge. Some knowledge. You know what? We need to know God better. We need to know God better. I've been married to Tubby for 25 years. I know her better now than I did 25 years ago. Because I have spent time with her. Because I have given her my attention. Many of us, we don't know God any better because we don't give him our time and we don't give him our attention and we don't give him our sacrifice. We have to add to our faith moral excellence, and then we have to add knowledge, and then we have to add some self-control. I mean, at some point, you got to quit acting like a titty baby and throwing your little old fits when things don't go your way. Come on, somebody. You ever been to Walmart and seen the little kid in the toy aisle that didn't get what he wanted? He fell down on the floor, went to screaming, kicking, hollering, embarrassing himself and mama and everybody else, and he had absolutely no self-control. Can I preach to y'all today? There's a lot of folk in the Christian church that are the same way. The minute you don't get your prayers answered, and the minute the preacher don't give you enough time, and the minute that song service ain't right, and the minute things don't go your way, we fall down, have a little spiritual screaming fit, and we have no self-control. Come on, somebody. You have to add to your faith. Character, knowledge, self-control. Then we have to add some patience. I think the Lord loves to torture us by making us practice patience, y'all. Like, you don't get everything like you want. We live in a microwave world, you know what I mean? Like, we don't even warm stuff up in the oven anymore. We want it in 30 seconds. Ding! Like we're at Allsup's. Open the thing up, get your biscuits and sausage out of there. Betty, by the time you get out there, you're mad and you're ticked off, and you'll be grouchy and act like a turd to the girl that's making minimum wage working the window over there. Come on, somebody. Patience, they that wait upon the Lord. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we're going to live a life that honors Christ, we have to learn to add patience to our life. And then we have to add godliness. At some point, if we're children of God, we need to look like and resemble God the Father. Bless my children's hearts. They look and they act like their father. At some point, if we're trying to walk this thing out beyond just simple faith, and we have moral excellence, and we have self-control, and we have patience, at some point, we need to resemble God. Do you know that's what draws the world to us that will ultimately draw them to the cross? I know it's old-fashioned preaching, but Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We have been called to be different than the world. And then we have to add, this is the part I don't like, we have to add kindness and brotherly love. Can I be real with y'all for a minute? You know any church people or Christians that straight running buttholes? Come on, somebody. Like, there is no kindness about them. They are angry. They are mad. They are sour. They are disappointed that nothing is going their way. They gripe about the economy. They gripe about the church. They're not kind to other people. They show up at the restaurant. They have a demanding demeanor about them. At some point, you and I have got to learn that the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed me, and we have to be kind to the rest of the world. And we have to learn to have brotherly love. I mean, you know, some folk, hard to love. Some of you, hard to love. Just telling you. Love. Love covers a multitude of sin. God is love. Love casts out all fear. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. If we want to live a life that honors Christ and will draw sinners to the bloodstained cross of Calvary, we have to learn to love everyone, to love those that are like us, to love those that are gay, to love those that are in the middle of trying to transition. We have to love the Democrats. We have to learn to love everybody. Not saying that you have to buy into their style, but you're not the judge. I'm not the judge. There's one judge, and God has just asked us to love everyone. Yeah, I know. I'm preaching the paint off the walls. Thank you, brother. Those first six steps are learn to love God. The last two or three are learn how to love people. Jesus says, but Peter says in verse 8, the more we grow, the more we add to our faith, the more we add to, he says this, the more productive and useful we will become. The more productive and the more unusable. How many of you have ever seen the movie Secondhand Lines? It's this moment, it's this movie of these two old men. And this one old man's name's Uncle Hub. It's Robert Duvall. And then Robert Duvall, I mean, he's lived this passionate life, man. He's fought in wars. He's loved one woman with a passion. He's lived a life. He's always done something. He's been useful, everything. And in this moment at the end of his life, he's gotten sick and he's been in the hospital. He gets in the hospital, he's struggling with life, he's struggling with being useful, he's struggling, and he just checks himself out of the hospital. And him and his buddy, they go to this barbecue joint, and they're sitting in the bar, eating this barbecue like this, and Uncle Hub's just depressed. He's just down. He's just a cloud over him. And his buddy turns to him and says, "What's the matter? Well, what's eating at you, Hub? Are you afraid of dying?" And Hub says, "Hell no, I ain't afraid of dying." He said, "I'm afraid of being useful, useless. I'm afraid of being useless." He's like, "I don't want to live my life of no worth. I don't want to be useless. I don't want to just take up a space. I don't want to just breathe oxygen. I want to be useless. I've lived this." Out of us that says, "I don't want to just be a spouse. I don't want to just be a parent. I don't want to be just a church member that sits in the pew. I want to be used by God, and I want to produce fruit that glorifies my Father in heaven." Something inside of us, and I'm afraid so many of us have not ever added to our faith, and the Lord is not able to use us much, and we're not producing much fruit. Can we be real? It's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to grow so that we can be used by God. We live in a world where everything is someone else's fault. The reason that I am not productive and the reason that I am not useless, it's my parents' fault. They didn't raise me in church. They didn't raise me in the right kind of church. It's my spouse's fault. It's my ex-spouse's fault. Listen, it's not your friend. The responsibility of your faith and your growth is not on me as a pastor and is not on this church. There is nothing that irks me worse than to hear someone say, well, I'm just moving to another church because I'm not being fed at my church. Well, Mr. Poo-Poo Pants, when your mommy used to feed you goo-goo gaga, some ground-up chicken breast, and some ground-up sweet potatoes, and you pooped in your own diaper and sucked a bottle, you know, maybe at that point, but you know what? We have grown up and we have matured, and nobody is feeding you now. Your growth is your body. You need to learn to feed yourself. The church, you know what the church is? The church is a place where you can come. It's a catalyst that will spark something in you, a place where you can come worship God and connect with God and connect with others. The church is a place that would be salty, that would create a thirst in you so you could leave here and go take responsibility of your own spiritual growth. Yeah, I got six of you on that, didn't I? Couple stories and I'm done. Fruitful, productive. Producing. Don't hear me wrong on this. Don't leave here and go, well, Cody said God's going to curse me if I don't produce fruit. I'm not saying that. I'm going to use an example from the life of Jesus where you can see that he is interested in us producing fruit. He's walking along with his buddies, and he sees this fig tree over there. The fig tree is full of leaves. It's pretty. It looks good from afar off. But the closer they get to the fig trees, it has produced absolutely no fruit. And Jesus curses the fig tree, and the fig tree dies. Can I tell you, Jesus is more interested in us producing fruit than us being big and looking pretty to everyone else afar off. At some point, we can just be one sprig that produces fruit. It's better than big and pretty with no fruit. Let me give you this, and I'm done. Verse 5 says, those who fail to develop themselves, those who fail to grow, those who fail to advance, they're short-sighted, they're nearsighted, and they're blind. One translation says they're immature. If we fail to grow, it's because we're just focused on us. We don't care about nothing else. We're immature. We don't care about anybody else. That's the deal. And it says they've even forgotten that they've been cleansed from their old sins. Grow. Remember, here's the deal. Verse 10, last one, and I'm done. Let me ask you this right quick before I read this verse. Have you ever known somebody that accepted faith but never ever really grew and never ever really produced any fruit and never ever were useful, and you could watch them over time, they begin to fall away from the Lord? They fall away. Their faith is weakened. They fall away. Can I just be real with y'all? Because this is what happens. I've seen it. Your attendance at church is not quite as regular as it once was. And there's always a good excuse. Can I hear a good amen? You fall away. And the next thing you know, your habits change. And next thing you know, your life changes. And next thing you know, we've fallen away. And the reason I bring that up is because we all have to be careful, because we can all fall away if we're not on our game. Here is a great promise from God, and I just love it, and I want to speak it over your life, because verse 10 says this: if you and I work hard to prove that we have been chosen and called and changed by God, if we put forth every effort and we continue to add to our faith, the Bible says this: we will never fall away. If we continue to add to, if we continue to grow, if we continue to build our spiritual home, if we continue to strive and focus on God, we will never fall away. What a great promise. Conrad, worship team, come help me close this. When we accept the faith given to us by Christ, then we have a desire to grow. We work hard to add to our faith. The promise of God is that we'll never fall away. So I'm going to tell you today, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to discuss some practical ways of how we can grow, of how we can be useful, of how we can be productive. They're very simple ways. But if I guarantee you, if you will begin to apply them, you can watch God grow and you can watch God use you in a way that he's not done in a long, long time. So as we close today, I'll tell you what we're going to do. we're going to take a few moments and we're going to celebrate communion today. We're going to celebrate the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is our foundation. If you're not built and your life is not built on the blood of Jesus Christ, the broken body, then it's in vain. This is the foundation. First and foremost, faith. So we're going to celebrate that today. The scripture says, the same night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. Thanks, buddy. And he said, take, eat. My body that's broken for you. Look at me. Look. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes were healed the broken body of Christ. And after they had eaten the bread, he took the blood, and he took the cup, and he said, it's a new covenant, my blood, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. There's one way we can be forgiven. Not penitence, not another prayer, not another song service, not another church. No, there's one way. Accept the blood of Jesus Christ. And that night, you know what Jesus said? Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup until I come back, remember me and remember what this represents. So my prayer today is this, that as we celebrate the broken body and the blood, no matter what you're facing or no matter where you are in your journey, boom, the Spirit of God will quicken your spirit and will take you back to a place where you remember what you've been forgiven of, you forget about the things of the world, and because of your forgiveness, it now motivates you to go, you know what, I'm leaving here in 2023, and I'm about to add to my faith like I never have before. I'm about to add to my faith, and I'm going to be used by God the rest of this year. I'm going to add to my faith, and I'm going to be productive for the kingdom of God, that this would take us back. So those of you that have asked, I've asked you to come help serve communion, would you make your way down here? I'll tell you this today. If you're here today, you're welcome to partake in the elements today. It's not about being a member of the Bethel. It's not about being a member of a certain denomination. It's about being a part of the body of Christ. So what we're going to do is we're going to run two lines. We're just going one line down here, one line over there. Me on this side will hand you a piece of bread. And I'll say, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And because we live in a hospitable part of the world, lots of people will say, thank you, Cody. And I would say to you today, just redirect your thoughts and don't say thank you, Cody, because all Cody did was serve you a piece of $2 bread from United Market Street in Abilene. When I hand you, you might say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You'll step to the next guy who will have the wine. He'll say, the blood of Christ shed for you. You dunk your bread in there and you partake. You might say, thank you, Lord, for the blood. So, Father, we just love you and we thank you for today. And we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for every man, every woman, every young person in this place, Lord. I pray that right now would be a sacred moment. I pray that right now we would focus. I pray that right now, God, we would focus on you and everything that you've done for us. I pray, God, that we would have a childlike faith at this moment, that you would take us back to the cross. You would take us back to when our life would change. Lord, we would understand the heaviness. We would understand the seriousness of what your son paid for on the cross. We would understand the suffering and the sacrifice that he did on our behalf so that we could be called sons and daughters of God. We pray, God, that you would move in our hearts. Holy Spirit, renew this in our hearts and renew this in our minds as we partake today. Lord, I pray something would happen in the spiritual realm that would wake us up and shake us up, and we would be ready to take responsibility of our faith and grow for you, Lord. Speak to us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's start at the back, if you will, both sides. Let's make our way down. You guys can go that way. You guys can go that way. Thank you.
consuming. My heart is ready. God, if I burn, I burn for you. No hesitation, without reservation. God, if I burn, I burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Fresh, fresh fire. I want you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. Give me a fresh, fresh fire. I want you desire. I'm gonna burn for you. Light a match and let it go. Set a blaze on control.